Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 79 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Grounding Stray Voltage. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for the power of your resurrection. We ask and pray, oh God, that you'd be with us in spirit and in truth and in revelation. We ask and pray, oh God, that our eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that they might be enlightened in such a way that we have never been enlightened before. So, Lord God, as we collectively bring our hearts together and our spirits and our like-mindedness, we bring that all together this morning, oh God. We bring it before you, O God. We ask and pray that your light of heaven would truly shine into our hearts and our minds, and we give up our ghost to your Holy Ghost, that we might be filled and saturated with your love and with your power and with your presence. We ask and pray, O God, that most of all, as we're all here today, we beg of you, Lord, don't leave us just like we are. Don't leave us, oh God, with how much we think we know right now. Don't leave us, oh God, with our feet just planted so firmly that we will not move. Our prayer, oh God, is we'll be unshackled from the things of this world, and that we'll cling to you, the Savior of the world, that your light might be imparted to us, that we might give it to others, because we want to be students of your word and of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you'd like to get previous teachings, you can go online at newlife.com. There you can see where you can, we have MP3s there or the videos of, it would be the previous 78 teachings. If you want to jump into something, there's an ocean to jump into. Lesson 79 is today's teaching as we're moving forward. And it is an awesome thing. You know, it's amazing how inadequate, I hope you feel as inadequate listening as I do speaking, on how inadequate we feel in trying to present unto you a just and a holy God. I don't pretend to know all that I'm saying. I don't pretend that at all. But I do pretend to make myself available to the Holy Spirit to say and do whatever he feels that needs to be said and needs to be done. And that's a scary thing. Just as you are, it's a scary thing to put all of our filters down, put all of our walls down, and trust a dairy farmer standing behind a pulpit. That's a scary thing. But that is what the Lord's asking today. But you can test what I say. Now, we're doing the changing spiritual atmosphere. We've been through, there is a, the only way I know to say it, things in the natural reflect things of the spirit world, right? As a prophetic people, we see things of the natural. And the things of the natural are trying to speak to us things. And God has always used imagery. God uses English only when he has to. But there's a lot of other things that are speaking to us. And so I want to show you something prophetically here. This is the year. What is the year this year? It's 2018, right? And y'all know it's 2018 from what? From the time of Christ. So the whole world recognizes this as 2018, unless you live in some remote island somewhere in the South Pacific. But the whole world goes by 2018. The whole world gives testimony under 2018. Believers and non-believers alike signed their checks 2018. So God has things out here that are just blatant, or just so in our face that it's amazing we stumble over it. But we do stumble over it because we need to find that is the obvious. Can somebody hear me? So today we're wanting to find the obvious. That sounds like an oxymoron. Why do we have to look for the obvious? It's because something's got it hidden. Now, in unlocking the prophetic and changing the spiritual atmosphere, there's a huge thing. I guess one of the whole globe is in unity on global warming, right? I don't care what country you're in or what language you speak. Everybody is in unity on global warming as far as the world is concerned. Well, we need to listen to that. Why do I use the terminology spiritual atmosphere? It's because I know the world is talking about global warming. They're right on one thing. There's an atmosphere fixing to change. It's just not the one they're thinking. When Jesus bursts through these clouds, don't you think there's not going to be some atmospheric change on the earth and on the planet? So they are detecting something shifting in the atmosphere. They've just got the wrong topic. Now, I'm really not kidding when I say this. There is a spiritual atmospheric change coming. And as a prophetic people, we want to align ourselves with this change that's coming. Last week I talked about light and electricity and how we're transformers and how we are transforming the power of God. Do y'all remember that? And where we ended up, I started speaking about stray voltage. And so the title of our beginning of our teaching today is Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Grounding Stray Voltage. Now, if you had a dairy farm in the dairy business, when the cows come into the milk barn, we've had in times past a lot of problems with stray voltage. That's where their cows are on concrete and a lot of water. And if you don't have something well grounded, then the voltage will pick up and start trying to find the ground, and it might be your leg, but it's trying to find the ground. And we call that stray voltage because things are not grounded well. Well, in the church house of God and with the power of God, I think we've had a good deal of stray voltage. I think people's gotten shaken and shocked a little bit. But it didn't really amount to much because it didn't even light up our light bulb. It's got a little jolt out of it. Well, so how do we get this stray voltage grounded? It's through the Word of God. The Word of God is the grounding. So, with that thought in mind, we start to understand that there's more. Why and how does God send more of His power and His light unless you be well grounded? Because then it would just equal a spiritual stray voltage. With that in mind, we'll move forward. A disciple is a life that has chosen to condition itself to receive light and yet stay grounded. A disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ. That's one who's disciplined. So what good is discipline to a Christian? Self-discipline to a Christian is the grounding, if you will, of your spirit so that it might receive a higher voltage. You've maybe heard me say this before. I can be the best brain doctor in the world, brain surgeon. You wheel me in a patient. I take a hammer and chisel and crack open your skull. I go in there to do this famous surgery that I'm famous for. Then I look down at the paperwork and it says it needs a heart transplant. Well, I might be the best brain surgeon in the world, but you take the power of a brain surgeon and you apply it at the wrong time, it'll equal death instead of life. Somebody with me? So just because you have the understanding and the power of the truth, it doesn't mean that you know when to apply it. Tell me you don't know that. Only the Holy Spirit knows when He wants you to apply it. So we see that it's of necessity to have a tremendous relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what brings that truth that's eternal and brings it into the now moment, that it might bring life and not death. So we see here that the lamp of the body is the what? Is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body, excuse me, will be full of what? Of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So here we start getting this idea of the eye. And the reason I think this Holy Spirit uses the eye here is because the eye focuses on particular things. And whatever the eye focuses on is what the eye can see. So if you are focusing on things of the light, what's going to happen in your body? You're going to be full of light. Here's the way it works. Just when you focus on things that are good, it says. Now the good's not the light. The good's just the good. The good's not the light. Light, when you focus on the good, so what do you call a good ground if you're an electrician? You got a good ground and you got a bad ground. Well, a good ground of the light, which is power, is to focus or see that's good. Now, that gives us an indication that we can also see what's bad. It's the fallen nature of man. You got to understand how it works. The fallen nature of man gravitates to darkness. Can you hear that? The fallen nature of man gravitates to darkness. That's the reason we'll see things that are bad all the time and we think we're really smart. I mean, that's like throwing a rock in the river or in an ocean and try to miss it. Right? If you want to see bad, you're going to see bad, but I'll tell you what else, you're going to be full of darkness. The darker your heart gets, the smarter you think you are. Go figure. And the smarter you think you are, which is pride, is what guards your heart from the light. Somebody say, oh, man, me or whatever. Now, you must enjoy getting uncomfortable because of the light. Say, Alan, I enjoy being uncomfortable. Amen. Now, when you learn that being uncomfortable is your friend, and I'm going to show this to you. Last week I talked to you about being comfortable, right, and resisting. When you have a life, if your lifestyle is made up of whatever makes you comfortable, you're not following the Lord. That's right. Say amen. Because if you truly follow the Lord, you're going to be uncomfortable quite often. It just goes with the program. You must enjoy getting uncomfortable because of the light and find the spiritual and emotional pain a personal challenge. Say, Alan, I love the way you put things. You're welcome. Thank you, my friend. You must find that spiritual and emotional pain a personal challenge. You see, we want to run from the pain to the comfort. So therefore, we say any pain is bad. But to a prophetic person, you run into the pain. You embrace the pain. You run into the pain. Because you know there's truth on the other side of the enduring through the pain. You don't go to the most comfortable place, get you a Coca-Cola and a moon pie and sit back in a real comfy seat and say, God bless me if you can. It's not the way it works. If your life is full of challenges, painfully and emotionally, just praise God. Now listen, I am telling you the truth. It might not be one that you've heard often, but it's still the truth, and I'm going to show you why. Never quit and prove the devil's wrong. God calls us to be part of a light-bearing team. So as we collectively come together, it's called the church. When the church comes together, the enemy tries to separate light. When we come together, we make a spotlight. We make a big light, a lot of lumens, a huge light. The bigger the light, the greater the power required to run the light. That's the reason if you want to see a big move of God, you don't say, well, go down to Texas and take a third dirt road on the left, and you'll see an old Texan there, and he's having revival, but it's just him. Well, you can have personal revival, but do you know who it's going to affect? It's going to affect you. That's good. When you bring a bunch of personal revivals together, it affects everybody else. It's because all of that power and lumens comes together. A healthy disciple full of light helps to motivate the church. We come together to motivate each other. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Listen, if you've gotten hold of any light, I've heard, I don't know what you do with this. I know a lot of people that are fussed at and say, well, you just serve God too much. Well, you're going to have to take that. I know what you mean. I mean, sometimes like people, you got your head in the clouds too much, come down to earth, somebody. But there's something eating away inside of you that's got to serve others. It doesn't even make sense. You'll give the farm away. And you're trying, and then somebody asks, well, why are you giving the farm away? And you try to give an explanation, like you know why. And you say, I don't know why. I've just got to do it. It's because that light's in and it's seeking to be out. It seeks to be out. The enemy is constantly trying to get that bushel basket on top of the light. Constantly. Trying to put the bushel basket on the light. But Jesus said when the bushel basket's taken off, then everybody in the whole house will see. In other words, it affects everyone. Now keep all of this in mind. A disciple can take back authority that has been lost. And I've shared with you about that just a little. We're going to go into it just a little more. A disciple can take back authority that has been lost. I've taught you this before, but in the garden we lost authority. God gave man authority. We've lost authority somewhere. We're trying to move without it. You have to have authority to move. By being responsible with the light of authority, that's how we'll take it back. Now, keeping the light focus requires being responsible. The light requires it being focused. If it's not, it's just scattered. Responsibility is what keeps it focused. I'm going to show you how this works. Focus is, say it with me, everything. Focus is everything. You've heard me say this before. Ever what a camera focuses on is what's developed. You get a picture, you're ready to take a picture, you got to focus those lens so everything is sharp. You focus. In other words, if you're taking a picture of someone, you tend to put them in the middle of what you're focusing on. Why? You're trying to bring attention to what's in the middle of what you're focusing on. So when Christ is in your middle of everything you're focusing on, you're going to take a good picture. Now let's watch it. For what we focus on tends to be what develops. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of, I call it spiritual science because I want to introduce you to three terms here. Can y'all see that okay? One term, can you see where the sun's rays are coming to the magnifying glass? This is called incident rays. Can you see that? Is there another way to pronounce that? Is that right, Trevor? Just incident rays. And then, that's the light coming in. You call it incident rays. Then you see that it goes through a magnifying glass. Then it turns into what? Converging rays. And then what happens beneath? Something's going to catch on fire. Right? We're wanting God to send revival. We just need to understand our place in it. God wants to send the light, but He wants to send it through the magnifying glass so that all of that light will converge and make a fire. That magnifying glass takes all of that incident rays and it converges it into a single point, which causes a fire. Now listen, this is not a coincidence. This is spiritual truth. God's sitting in heaven and He's saying, okay, I'm going to create some stuff so that it will prophetically and spiritually give them the truth. Since they don't read their Bibles, I'm going to give them some pictures. I maybe added that part. This is a spiritual truth, and God created stuff around it to give us an explanation of it. It's not a coincidence. Now let's move on a little further. Incident rays of light is the incoming light. Here's the meaning. It's an event, an occurrence, an episode, an experience, a happening. It's an occasion. Does anybody see that? Incident means, incidentally, it happened. An incident means it's something's really going on. Incidents mean something's happened, but you can't see it. But it's still happening. It's called incident light rays are coming in. Do you think that they're not coming in from heaven right now? God is wanting to create incidents on earth by His light. He's wanting to do that. Now God, if anybody understands, is pretty tough around here. How can I say it, Lord? If I've got Orange Grove in Florida, y'all know freight's pretty high. I deal in freight a lot. Freight's expensive. If they want to send a truckload of orange juice to North Carolina, what happens to it? They'll concentrate it, and they'll shoot it up here, then we'll add water to it. Or is it smaller there and it's bigger here? Because something's added. You're putting something with. One load makes about 10, I think. Now, we can't do that with milk, even though we're accused of it. An incident. Now, watch it. It's especially of light or other radiation falling on or striking something. So when the light of God falls on you or strikes on you, can you hear that? When it hits you, with you being the magnifying glass, To magnify means to make something larger than it is in the moment. I tried to explain it to you like this. I've been accused of trying to make too much out of something. I've been accused to say, oh, God really is not doing all that. You need to understand how it works. Please hear me here. It's in Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in what? Now, that's not necessarily optional. It's just saying, David's saying, if you want to see something, here's how it works. Here's how it works. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That doesn't leave a whole lot of room for anything else in there. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Look at the reflection. The reflection is, if you're not glad, guess what? You're not humble either. Say, thank you, Alan. I appreciate that. If you're sitting here and you're not glad, you're not humble. Now, I'll let you choose the alternative. It's probably pride, but that's between you and God. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now, I'm leading somewhere here. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How do you get... I had people say they want to be set free of fear. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, just praise God. Praise God is what you do to come against fear. You say, well, Alan, it don't make sense. Well, that's proof to you it's spiritual. I put it up here like this. Magnify the Lord with me. When we magnify the Lord, what does that mean? Well, to start with, now please hear this. You can't magnify two people at the same time and one of them be magnified. You have to magnify one over the other. You can't run up two magnifying at the same time. If you're magnifying two, you just took half of the magnifying and put it in one and another half over here. It won't work in the spirit. If you're going to magnify, you got to do it one. To magnify God means you've given Him your whole heart, your whole praise. If you're not, you're magnifying yourself. How do you magnify yourself? Oh, woe is me. Look at all my problems. I'm not happy. I'm not glad. Well, pray tell, how you going to get glad and happy? What you're doing up to now is not working too good, is it? Been poor mouthing for 30 years. Don't you think you might need a game changer? Magnify the Lord with me. We come together, magnify the Lord. You can't get everything just right to start magnifying the Lord. You magnify the Lord because everything ain't just right. Did I say ain't? Not just right. Did it make sense? Ed understood me. Here's what I want you to say. We are the magnifying glass of the light of God. Can you feel it? God sent revival. He's been sending it. He's sending His light rays to us. He's waiting on somebody to magnify it in the moment. Y'all remember Sherlock Holmes? You see how I've been accused of that right there in the spirit. I do look for God everywhere. I'm guilty because I know the truth. If I find Him and magnify, He's going to make it bigger in the moment what He was before I found it. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Listen, church, you got to understand, in the spirit, you're a magnifying glass for good or evil. Which one do you want big in your life? Everybody's wanting somebody to fix something. You can't fix everything that's wrong. Have y'all not figured that out yet? You can't fix everything that's wrong. We're going to have to leave some of it unfixed and go on to the light. Now, if you're going to stay back in that darkness, you're going to have to fix it. I'm not staying. I'm moving on. Going under the light. Y'all can fix all that old stuff if you want to. It's too much to be fixed. We haven't got enough time. Hadn't got enough seminars. Hadn't got enough everything. We just got to move on. You got to choose in your life what you're going to and who you're going to magnify. If your life's the same old way it's always been, it's because you're magnifying the same old thing the same old way. Now that's, I'm telling you the truth. Now you might think that I'm saying all this to make you better. I wish I had that much compassion. Y'all pray for me. I'm wanting to see the power and the presence of God show up so bad I could eat it. We got to get it so others can get it. I promise you, you'll be the happiest and feel the best you've ever felt in your life when you quit magnifying your own self and your own problems, start magnifying God, and quit trying to fix somebody. Just quit it. You fix one, then there's two more. I'm going to fix a bunch of mine if I get caught up on praising God. But until then, I'm just going to magnify God. You say, well, Alan, you need to do that. Well, yeah, I probably do. I'll get around to it. Magnifying God, making God bigger in the moment. When you turn the lights on, the darkness flees. Turn the light on. The prophetic magnifies something that is small and makes it bigger in the moment. Can somebody receive that? The prophetic's looking for God, looking for the movement of the Spirit. And you make a big deal out of a little thing. And the little thing that was once a little thing turns into a big deal. Because the prophetic has magnified God Almighty. That's what King David was talking about, blessing the Lord. Well, God don't need us to sit around and tell him how pretty he is. That's not the spiritual language that's going on. God's wanting us to call his Spirit forth. Make it big. You see, God's sending the light down, but he's wanting to send it through the magnifying glasses, which is us. We've been created to magnify God. Did you know it's the only thing you can do well? I said this before, you don't sin well, but you can magnify God well. I hadn't seen too many people say, well, you're magnifying God wrong. You don't hear much of that. The prophetic is looking for God. We're looking for it. I'm reminded of a prophet said he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Anybody remember that story? Just a little old cloud. But the prophet saw it. He called it forth by acknowledging that it was there. When you acknowledge that it's there, you call it forth. Would it rain without the acknowledgement of the prophet? Probably not. But he acknowledged it. Now here's the key. You got to quit acknowledging yourself and all your problems and everything that's not making you comfortable. I want to give you a prophetic word. Quit it. Stop it. You can't magnify. It's the enemy of the prophetic. Who in the world gave poor mouth and a spiritual medal? I don't know. It's the enemy. Now, here we got what we're going into, converging rays of light. Here's the meaning. It means to intersect, cross, connect, link up, coincide, join, unite, merge. Is the church necessary? If you don't want to start a fire, it is. This is what the church does. It's the converging of the rays of light. Why did he say where two or three gather? It's a converging. It's a church. It's a gathering of God's people. I can't converge with myself, even though many of us try. You can brag all you want to, but the greater fires, the greater the converging. That's the reason the enemy tries to get us not to be in unity. You see, we got to lay down our opinions and be in unity of the fire, of the light of God. When we're in unity of the light and the fire of God, we are then being a magnifying glass, or we're magnifying God in His light, and there'll be a fire start every time. I can feel that fire. So here we got it. Incident rays, converging rays, magnifying rays. Then it says, focused rays do what? Burn a hole. Church, we got to get this thing. If you want to burn a hole in darkness in this area, we got to have a converging light. We've got to come together in a converging light. A magnifying glass. You've got, please hear me, somebody. When we have worship, that is your time of cleaning and working on your magnifying glass. You're worshiping God. Worshiping God, you're magnifying. Your purpose in life is to take the light of God and make it stronger in the moment than it is when you see it. Now, I'm going to show you how this works, if I'll hush and get on with it. We burn so we can reflect. So here we got this magnifying glass. It's making, it's converging all this light down into one spot. Start something on fire. We call it the fire of God. We call it revival fire. That's a converging of the light. Now, we're after all that, but I want to take it a step further, if you'll go with me. We burn so we can reflect. A farmer used to burn off the ground. The reason it is to clean it up. Used to strike a match to it and let it burn. Burn it up, it'd kill weeds, seed, kill everything. The fire would clean it. Fire would clean it. So the fire of God, this power, this light comes down, starts a fire in our hearts, cleans us up. The reason the leaves or whatever catch on fire is because they absorb the light that has been converging on it. The leaves have to absorb the light to start a fire. Are you with me? I'm not done yet, but stay with me. So as the light of God goes through the magnifying glass. In other words, if you want the light of God in your life to burn you up, you have to allow it to magnify in your life. You come in here and you hear the word of God, you got to say, God, I'm willing to let your light just burn my heart, hole in my heart. Now, the reason a magnifying glass will start a fire with some leaves or whatever is because the leaves will absorb that concentrated light. Turns into a flame. Then we know spiritually fire is contagious. I mean, in the natural, and it is spiritually, it's contagious. How do I know that this church is not in revival? Because we're not contagious. Fire jumps everywhere. Now, I want you to look at this one. I'll teach you two more terms. You see reflection and refraction? See those two terms? Now, when you see the light on the left side coming in, all the colors, then you have a reflection going out. All right. The angle or degrees of reflection is the same as the light comes in. So if you got a mirror and the light hits a mirror, it's going to go out at the same degrees as it comes in. Are you with me? Now listen to me just a second. Now look at me. When we absorb the light, we're in what I call a refraction. See, a refraction's down at the bottom. A refraction is when you're absorbing the light, but a refraction is different than a reflection. See, Alan, I think I got it. You ever stuck a straw in a glass of water, and part of the straw on top's over here and the bottom's over here? You ever done that? What's happening is the light's going through a refraction, and it's distorting the light. Now, here's what happens to us as believers. We'll get enough light, we'll absorb it, but we don't let it burn. We don't have the focus enough that it's on me. We'll let it refract, and so we run around with truth, but it's mixed. It's off a little bit. Anybody with me? Now, the only true light there is that's reflected. Yeah, Alan, I think I got it. In other words, you've got to be burned off so you're cleaned up, and only then can you reflect. A religious spirit is a refraction. We've received light, but we've just put it in here and not let it focus enough to start a fire. So we'll spout off truth, but it's off a little bit. The real straw's over here, and it looks like it's over here. So therefore, there's no power of God and of His kingdom. Everybody wants to be somebody in the kingdom. When you are a true reflection, nobody sees you. Can somebody say amen? So we see that what we're after is to be transparent. So the light of God comes in. First point of business is we're a magnifying glass. It magnifies upon our heart, starts a fire, cleans us up. We repent and we turn into a reflection of the light of God. There is power in the reflection, not in the refraction. Say, Alan, I got it. All right. Being responsible. Now, I've just given you some truth. You can be responsible with it or not. I hope everybody in here dislikes me just a little, so therefore I know you got some truth. Being responsible means being dependable, keeping promises, honoring our commitments. It is accepting the consequence for what we say and do. It also means developing our potential. The reason we're responsible with light is because it develops our potential, which means we hadn't gotten to where we're going yet, but we're headed that way. Adam lost his light of authority when he gave up being responsible. I've told you this story once, but I'm going to go into just a little more depth here. Being responsible, being a disciple of Christ. This, like I've said before, this class is for people who want to mature in Christ. This is not kindergarten Christianity. This is maturity Christianity. I've told you the truth. Adam lost his light of authority when he gave up being responsible. Being responsible means what? Dependable, keeping promises, honoring our commitments. It is accepting the consequence for what we say and do. It also means developing our potential. People who are responsible don't make what? Excuses for their actions or blame others when things go wrong. Now, I know that doesn't apply to anyone in here, but you might know somebody that this could apply to. When you blame others for everything that's going wrong, you are not a responsible person. And God's not going to give you any more light than you have right now, because you can't be responsible with it. You're not using what light you've been given. We've got to use what light we've been given, be responsible with it. That's the reason I've told people before. I've had people, faith is something that's given to us by God. You don't muster up faith. I can say, all right, have more faith. Well, you can fake it, but you don't really have no more than you did before I said it. Faith, the Bible says, is a gift from God. It also says it's measurable. You have a measure of faith. So the amount of faith you have, I know something. God gave it to you. I can't beat you into it. I can't pay you into it. I can't make more come on you. God is the only one that's got the checkbook for faith. And He writes it out to each one of us as He sees fit. So the key here to the Christian life is be true to what faith you have. If you don't have faith for healing, it's okay. You don't. It's not a big deal. There's others who do. You might want to know them. You say, well, I don't have faith. What you want to do is just write down what you know you have faith for. And then be true to it. See, it's not how much faith you got. It's how true you are to the faith you got. Can somebody hear me? Some people's got faith for this, some for that. The key is responsibility with what God's given you. That's the spiritual key. Not how much, how responsible you are. So here we see, if you're blaming others for everything that's going wrong in your life, you just aren't getting it. And I don't care if they did it on purpose or if they didn't do it on purpose. I don't care if they did do it. Ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. Jesus died on the cross for every one of us for something He didn't do. He owned it all. Our example is, I'm going to own what I do wrong and I'm going to own what you do wrong. You not know the part in the Scriptures where it says we can forgive sins? What's He talking about? Ed does something against me wrong. He's not even sorry for it. I'm going to forgive him anyhow. Why? I want to be responsible with truth. I have the power given to me by Jesus Christ to forgive Ed, even if he don't want it. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, and everybody's been born yet, hadn't even asked for it yet. Can somebody hear? I'm telling you a spiritual truth and a spiritual path. Just quit blaming others. I'm sure you can tell me why they did it, yes, everybody's guilty. It ain't got a thing in the world to do what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you, praise God, because you have the gift of forgiving others even when they don't ask for it. God says you have to get, so it's not going to hold you down. Forgive them, but let's get on. Let's get on. I'm going to mess around and preach here in a minute. Adam lost his light of authority when he gave up being responsible. For me to be responsible means I will repent when I'm wrong, and I'm going to forgive you when you're wrong. That's being responsible with the truth of the cross. Now, if I want to be in judgment and say you need to pay when you've done wrong, well, you and God's going to have to work out with that. I'm going to forgive you anyway. So allow they don't deserve it. I don't either. The one that is responsible or in charge is the one that can respond with light. Anybody want to do that? I'm talking about reflection here. I'm not talking about refraction. I'm talking about reflection. The one that is responsible, if I come in here and I say, somebody's car's out, who's responsible for this place? And I'll say, Pastor Steve. Well, if you want to know something about this church, you go to the one's responsible. Well, whether he wants it or not, he's already claimed it. He said yes to being pastor. And I'm sure there's some responsibilities that come with that he'd assume not have. But guess what? He's got them anyhow. When you're responsible with anything, you're responsible. You take responsibility of it and you say, well, Ed sinned against me. He done me wrong. Well, I'm going to take responsibility of it, Ed. I'm going to forgive you. Why do I want to forgive him? I'm going to forgive you anyway. Why? because I'm responsible of this situation. I'm taking responsibility of it. I'm going to own it. Your bad attitude, Ed's not going to own me. I'm going to forgive you and love you. And I'm getting on with my life. Whoever has responsibility. Now, when I exercise that, guess what's reflecting? It's the light of God. It's a reflection. Responsibility means the ability to act in the authority of the light. Gosh, y'all, I just knew you'd grab a light and swing. Somebody would. I can't reach it. Responsibility means the ability to act in the authority of the light. When we take ownership, it means you own it. It means you got it. Now you can be in responsibility. When you blame something or someone else, you stop reflecting. Well, I hate to leave you hanging here, but I have no choice. So we're going to pick up here again next week on how we stop reflecting. Now, I want to submit to you. Y'all test what I'm saying. I believe there's more power in the kingdom of God than what we're seeing. According to this book, we're not seeing near what's in this book. The only thing I can tell you, if you're looking for somebody that's got a special gift, we're not doing specialties here. We ain't got one special person, his name's Jesus. Now, if you're coming here and want to try to learn how to reflect him, his power come to this earth, and we're just going to reflect him, you're at the right place. And it's this reflecting that I believe that we're missing the power of the kingdom. And it's hard not to be noticed when the light's coming on you. I'm going to get into the art of reflecting.